clients deals with the management of legal risk. And by legal risk, I mean the risk that an agency will violate the law or not comply with law, regulation, or policy that governs the agency's mission, operations, and programs. So compliance is a methodology, a method of trying to identify those risks and do something about them, mitigate them before you end up with a problem.
So what did the OIG review find when it came to the risk reduction strategies at ICP?
The Inspector General said, this is not an exact quote, but said that the program has begun to reduce legal risk within the FBI. It provides a method by which FBI management not only identifies risk, but begins to examine them, analyze them, determine mitigation plans, and put in place measures to reduce that risk. So overall, the IG report, in my opinion, said that the program was worthwhile, and actually went further and said that other federal agencies may wish to consider implementing a similar program.
Give us an example of the type of risk that might be mitigated through this program. When you say compliance, what is an example of something you might not comply with?
Well, every agency, and certainly the FBI and law enforcement intelligence agencies, have very complex legal environments in which they work. Everything we do is governed by some law, regulation, or policy. Everything from hiring an individual to application of deadly force. Deadly force is, of course, the one the public often thinks of when they think of law enforcement. So I'll just use that as an example. The application of deadly force is governed by a long list, I guess, of legal considerations, beginning with the Constitution. If a law enforcement officer pulls a weapon, pulls the trigger, then that amounts to a seizure under the Constitution. So seizures have to be reasonable and justified. I'm not going to go into the constitutional precepts behind it, but that's just one example. And then below the Constitution, of course, are statutes and regulations. The Department of Justice has a deadly force policy, and the FBI has a deadly force policy. So there is a risk that if your people aren't conversant with the policy, or an agency doesn't have a good policy, then the application of deadly force could result not only in loss of life and tragedy, but also, of course, a violation of the law. So what our program does is try to identify risk, and then we identify what we call the control environment that surrounds those risks. Control environment is the policies and procedures that we have in place to tell our people what we expect of them, the training that we provide to our employees to make them aware of the policies and procedures, the monitoring which the supervisors are engaged in to make sure employees are doing it right. And then finally is auditing to see if our control environment is good. But again, what we do is we try to get out front before something develops into a problem, before someone comes in and says, aha, you violated the law. We're looking at the risk that we would do so as we proceed.
We are talking with Patrick Kelly, the Assistant Director of the FBI's Office of Integrity and Compliance. We're learning more about this latest OIG report. And I wanted to ask about the measuring of the success. And whenever we do interviews, whether it's with GAO or an inspector general, we learn a little bit more about how one of the drawbacks is that you also have to follow through and measure the success of the program, or be able to show how it works and do the follow-up, which is almost always the hardest part. Where did your program fall in that criteria?
Well, I agree with you. That is a very hard question. It's on one level, you're trying to prove a negative that we have prevented violations of law, regulation, or policy.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they just didn't happen. So that is very difficult to, shall I say, measure or prove. On the other hand, you can look to certain other factors which indicate that the program is progressing well or not. One would be benchmarking your program against other well-recognized compliance programs, most of which are found in the private sector. Another is the number of risks that you have actually identified, analyzed, and put plans in place to mitigate. You can also measure certain activities, which, again, are not direct indicators of success or failure, but are proxies. For example, you may say, in addition to the number of risk modified, that how many calls you've received over a compliance helpline, or how many training lectures that have been provided in ethics and standards of conduct and those kinds of things. And another traditional type of measure of success is an annual report to your management that kind of summarizes and provides an overall picture. The IG in the report said the FBI could improve in that regard, and suggested that, recommended that rather, that we follow through by providing an annual report. For the first year, we did that, but then thereafter, I decided that because we were meeting with management four times a year formally, and with the director and the highest levels of management three times a year, and I also issue a monthly update, kind of a snapshot, if you will, that the annual report didn't serve the useful purpose, but the inspector general thought it did, and we concurred with that finding, and we will be issuing a annual report hereafter. We think that it is a worthwhile program. The director has certainly stood behind it, and there is management buy-in at the FBI. I've received comments from management that, in addition to knowing where the risks are, that we now also know what we're doing about them to mitigate the risk. And basically, the overall objective here is to enable our employees, who we think are really good employees and want to do the right thing, to do the right thing. It's difficult, as I said, because of the legal environment, the pressure under which we operate, to always know what the right thing is to do. And our program helps the good employees do that very thing.